Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About.
You gotta put it in
perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, what's up, party people? Beer Mug here at Staples Center. What's up, Beer Mug? What's up, Beer Mug? I just say hi to myself. Oh, Kevin and Bean are going to get plenty of material off this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Hey, everybody. It's the Kev Dog Show with me, your friends, the Kev Dog. And a lot of people were probably saying, what? Why are you doing, why is having all the talking on the podcast is new? You already have a radio show. Well, maybe somebody would ask me about that. And now.
Ladies, circle back up for our final exercise. Oh, and please bring your compacts. We're going to be celebrating our beautiful bodies by looking at our vulvas.
Our feature presentation.
Okay. I did that this weekend.
I wondered.
Yeah.
Is that a terrifying first view, Allie?
Oh, my God.
Good morning, everybody.
I don't know. I imagine if you're a girl of a certain age and you go, well, it's time to check, see what's going on down there. I imagine
good morning.
Be horrified.
Good morning. Fabulous.
You know.
Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific.
All right.
Good morning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good morning.
It's like, Monday, uh-huh. You guys.
Like, how do you recover from that? Like, how do you put that into order?
Wow. This seems like a line of questioning that would be good for the podcast.
You're so happy to now be able to say that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 24th of July.
Allie, you get caught up on your sleep this weekend?
I did. A lot of sleep. I caught up on some DVR. I feel good about it. I feel real good about it.
Allie was way jet-lagged from her vacation trip to Europe and took a long time to recover, long time to get back.
Yeah, I was brain dead. I believe Ralph at one point said, it's like you're on, and then he named some drug I've never heard of, but I know it's bad. Because he just said he was looking at me and nothing was there, like more so than usual, yeah. I feel.
You watched The Defiant Ones?
No, did not get to that
yet.
It is first on my list of things to get to after I've watched everything. I watched Animal Kingdom and a couple other shows. Crap.
She can't. They're not coming to her right now.
I'm not back.
I don't think she's back yet, you guys.
No.
And how about you, Kevin? How was poker?
Poker was great. I felt a little bad, though. Here's what happens. Probably once every 50 times you play, you get all the cards.
Okay.
All of them. Like, you get great hand after great hand, and if you're in, all in, or whatever, it always goes your way. I was destroying people.
Oh, and you felt bad because they're listeners.
Yes. Aww. So at some point, I was like, I would bet big, and then I would make eye contact with a guy across from me and very slightly shake my head like,
no, don't do it.
Which is complete cheating.
Sure. Sure.
But I didn't want him to lose all that money, and I knew I had him. So aww. It was weird.
Yeah.
I couldn't not win. I got tired. I won so much, I got tired of winning.
Wow, oh now God, you know what it's like.
It does happen.
Right?
It's a shame that it couldn't have been the time before that when you were playing poker in the World Series of Poker that was your day to get all the cards.
Yeah, I played in the World Series of Poker. I played for about 12 hours, and I got aces one time.
Uh-huh.
And Friday night, I got aces four times in about 3 hours.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. So I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys.
Was it the same two guys at your table as always?
No.
That was it.
I stacked other people around there because those two guys that are better than I am always take my money. And that one of them came over and I was like, no, sir, sorry. Table's full. Wish you could sit.
That must have felt good.
He had to go play someplace else. Yeah, that's how I win is I just don't play against people better than me.
There you go.
And I count on luck. So that went well.
Well, we got a big big show today with a big big star as a guest on the show. But first, give me a little You Be the Judge, would you, Chip?
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
You guys are going to like this one. Ward Thomas lives in Long Beach. You may have seen this all over the news this weekend. He went to the, back in October, went to the Los Altos Mobile Gas Station on Bellflower Boulevard and had a 16-year-old son with him in the car, Benjamin. So he sent Ben in with some lottery tickets that had won and asked him to cash out and then buy some more lottery tickets with the winnings.
Okay.
They had $330 in winnings, by the way. So he asked his son to buy five $20 scratcher tickets and bring $230 back to the car, which the son did. So then the men get home, they play the tickets, and they realize one of those scratcher tickets won $5 million.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
As you can imagine, Mr. Thomas is excited. He goes right back out to the 7-Eleven near his house, and they check the ticket, and they go, yeah, it's a winner. And then the next day, he shows up at the state's lottery district in Santa Ana, and they say, yep, that's a winning ticket. And he fills out the paperwork and waits for the check. On December 5th, the commission denied his claim for the money, stating that the ticket was purchased by his son, who could not legally play the lottery because he was under 18.
Oh, man.
Because he sent his 16-year-old in to buy the ticket, they're saying that invalidates the jackpot.
Hmm. That's total BS.
Is it?
I mean, it is.
Did they sell him a ticket?
They sure did.
That's on them.
In fact, he says at no time did the store tell his son that he could not purchase a ticket because of his age. His son was not asked to have an adult present to buy the ticket. He wasn't asked for ID. He also says, by the way, that there was no signage in the store to alert you that you could not buy a ticket if you were under 18, which I think all that's going to stack up in his favor, don't you?
If all that is true, absolutely, but... I just assumed it's 18 and over for the lottery.
It is. It is 18 and over. So they're saying, and by the way, I also have questions about this. Why did they even investigate who bought the ticket when he showed up with the winning ticket? Why did they?
Because dad showed up with the winning ticket. Mm-hmm. So why did they look to see who bought it?
Huh. Yeah. Why did they ever even research whether he paid for that ticket or not?
I bet they always look at video for every winner, I would assume. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, maybe so. Otherwise, I can't see why. So this has turned into quite a raging debate in Southern California for some people who say, look, that's their rules. And, even if a store doesn't card you when you're underage and you go in to buy alcohol, you're still breaking the law by buying the alcohol.
But so are they.
So they're saying the same thing here, though. Yeah. And also, by the way, someone has brought up, what if a high school student buys a bunch of scratcher tickets and gives them in a birthday card to his teacher or somebody, and that ends up being a winning ticket? Does that teacher not get to keep the money?
I mean, if not according to these
it's
people.
It's a gift. So I don't know what's going to happen, but he is suing. Obviously, wants his $5 million. He also is asking for other charges, including emotional distress.
Sure.
And about $50,000 in damages. So the California Lottery Commission, I don't know if this one's going to go to trial, they're going to work something out or what, but it sure does appear like they just don't want to pay out the jackpot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is weird because it's for them, for the jackpot, it's not a big
amount
of money.
It's not at all.
That's weird.
It just makes me wonder if you know, there was another case not long ago where I don't have it in front of me, but there was a grandpa who had his kid on his lap or something, and his kid was pushing the buttons on a slot machine. It was one of those kind of deals.
Right.
And they've invalidated that, too.
That's
because
nonsense.
Even though the grandpa was there and was putting the money in, the kid hit the button.
That was the kid
mm-hmm.
talking.
I guess they just have very specific rules to make sure that underage people don't pay, gamble, I guess is what they're trying to do here. But anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled if I see what the verdict is on that. But that's an interesting case. I mean, if the father had been standing next to the son and the son had handed the money to the clerk.
I don't know. Sounds equally shaky.
Same deal, though, really.
I feel like they should pay just for... I don't know.
For public relations?
Just for good PR, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it.
Huh. Okay, we don't like it. That's our stance. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay. That's our ruling. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
That is the most laughable statement you have ever made in the history of this show.
Please. We've said much worse. We have a brand new TV for you today. How about that?
You don't mean a brand new TV show to talk about. No. You mean an actual mother effing television set that we're going to give away.
A TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K smart TV.
Wow. What does any of that mean?
High quality.
Okay.
That's what it
means. That's why it didn't sound familiar.
High quality TV. So we have a game for you to play in the 6 o'clock hour for that. We're also going to check in with TMZ, like we do. We've got tickets for you to see Metallica at the Rose Bowl. Give you a chance to win those today. We have Thanks for That Info Bean.
How dare you?
And Sean Spicer finally quit. Was this Friday? Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, Thursday or Friday.
He was the president's spokesman and not good.
Not great.
Yeah. Not good at all.
He seems like a nice man, but yes. He may have been ill-suited for that position.
He's me. Nice guy, wrong position. And fighter John Jones will join us in studio. Talking about UFC 214 fighting DC. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Bee next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
Is that San Diego's Ruff Gorman I see there?
Hey!
Welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm spectacular. How are you?
How was the weekend?
It was
awesome. Other than busy. Good.
It was busy and awesome. Awesome and busy. Awesomely busy. And busily awesome.
Ralph was at Comic-Con Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, besides all the great stuff that you knew you were going to be doing, Ralph, what amazed you or delighted you that you saw down there this time?
Well, you can't even list it. I mean, it's just a constant barrage on your senses of sights and sounds and people and things to do. And, I mean, the floor was amazing. There was a ton of really interesting new merch out there in the world. And, you know, it's the comics, it's the costumes and the installations. The Tick had a great takeover there at Jay and First Streets where there was a giant 20-foot-tall animatronic Tick head and you could move its antenna as the emotions of the character would go, and sets from the show itself. And there was just tons to see and do. You can't take it all in, so it's overwhelming.
And you bought your Catwoman suit, I hope?
I did not pick that up. That's that's going up for auction in September, so I'm saving my pennies now for that. Yeah. For the low, low price of $26,000.
Oh. I'm sure you could scrounge that up.
Yeah. Let's see what's in the couch cushions.
5:54, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do that on a Monday morning. Dunkirk, as expected, was number one at the box office. $50.5 million. Making it number one.
Kevin?
Yep.
How was it?
B-hole still clinched. That is pretty a tense movie.
Yeah.
Beginning to end. They let up just a little bit, and they put it right back in. You're just like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. I'm crawling out of the theater.
Say, then they put it right back in?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I was talking to
B.O. still clinched, too, I think, which is interesting.
I'm just saying.
They clinched it.
It's really well done, and you feel like you're right in the middle of the action. Stop it, Ellie.
Okay.
When you see these war movies sometimes, you are humbled so much by the young men who went over and accomplished those things, aren't you?
Yeah, almost kids, yes.
Yeah, it's just
21 years old. Yeah.
It's astonishing what they're able to do.
It's crazy.
It's been a crazy week at the movies, month actually. Every week, there's a brand new number one. Dunkirk beat out War for the Planet of the Apes, which beat out Spider-Man the week before that. So I think we all would have been surprised if number two had won the week. Girls Trip came in at number two.
Is that right?
Debuted with $30.4 million. A lot of people want to see Jada Pinkett Smith go,
And it only cost $20 million to make, so this is a profit machine, this one.
Spider-Man Homecoming was third. War for the Planet of the Apes and Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets were the top five films. Despicable Me 3, Baby Driver, The Big Sick, Wonder Woman, and Wish Upon were the rest of your films. Speaking of Comic-Con, a lot of news coming out of Comic-Con. Of course, a lot of people, a lot of studios use that opportunity to break the big news for their franchises and whatnot. Ben Affleck was on the hot seat because rumors were swirling that he was going to be finishing his turn in the Batsuit with the Justice League movie, that he would not be returning for the standalone The Batman movie that was in the works. And he put those rumors to rest by saying he had no plans on giving up the role anytime in the near future. Rumors had been swirling because he was supposed to direct the film, and then he said he wasn't going to do that. Matt Reeves, who directed The last two Planet of the Apes films took that over. And then Matt Reeves said, yeah, we're not going to use Ben's script either so much. It seemed like they were walking the whole idea of Ben Affleck being Batman back, and they were going to recast a younger actor, but apparently that's not the case. So he will still be returning to the role in the standalone film. As far as we know, of course, this all could be BS.
I always assume that if it's a role that great, how do you not keep it as long as you can? How do you not?
But Batman famously has gone through a bunch of actors who have walked away from the role. So there's really no precedent for anything you're saying. What I'm saying. Well, like Michael Keaton said, okay, I'm done now, and he walked away.
Okay, I didn't know how each one ended, but I'm just saying, like,
well, they didn't hold on to it as long as they could.
There are very few roles like that where you really, it's a thing you should hold on to. And I'm surprised.
All right.
That's all.
Okay.
Back to you.
You know, they were surprised about, remember I told you the story that Salvador Dali, the famous painter, was being exhumed in Spain because there was a woman who claimed that she was the daughter of Salvador Dali and a woman that Salvador reportedly had an illicit affair with. This tarot card reader named Pilar Abel swears that he was her biological father, and he sued to have his DNA compared to hers so she could get a little of his estate.
Which, by the way, is, I don't remember what that the number was, but hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, this, it's crazy how much Salvador Dali is worth dead.
Yes. So they exhumed the body. And when they took it out of the ground, they opened it up, and what did they see? His legendary signature mustache was fully intact.
No way.
How about that? That's a good mustache.
Wow.
That's a strong mustache.
Wow, just
you look
a
down
mustache?
And you see the mustache. It was just a mustache, Ellie. Yes. No, they looked just, in the coffin, and it was only a mustache. Everything else was gone.
Just a mustache on a skeleton? That's the weirdest thing ever.
That
right?
is weird.
That is very
That's
weird.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I wanna
whatever
see a
mustache wax he was using, they need an ad campaign stash.
Right. Even in death, we'll keep you looking good.
Fantastic.
Joe's wax.
Don't you automatically discount this lady's story because she's a tarot card reader?
Well, it doesn't help her story, I'll tell you that much. If she was a nuclear physicist or something, she might have more sway, but we'll see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Carter, speaking to Comic-Con, Wonder Woman herself, 66 years old today. Actor Michael Richards, famously Kramer on Seinfeld, is 68. Karl Malone, our buddy Karl Malone, who stops by the show from time to time, is 54 years old today. Kristen Chenoweth, the actress, is 49. Jennifer Lopez is 48. 48. That's a pretty good 48 right
there.
Actress Rose Byrne is 38 years old. Summer Glau, very talented and lovely actress, is 36. Anna Paquin's 35.
Wow.
And from Mad Men, actress Elizabeth Moss, who, of course, can now be seen in The Handmaid's Tale or something. Is that what it's called?
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, that too. She's 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock, KROQ.
John Bones Jones joins us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour here on this morning's Kevin and Bean show talking about UFC 214. I don't know all the smack talking you've been doing about him off the air here, Kevin. I'm afraid he's listening or something.
I was thinking last night when somebody tweeted me, are you guys going to tell him that you're rooting for DC? I immediately thought, I'm going to so burn Bean. And John Jones is here. I'm going to go, hey, do you want to talk any more smack to him, Bean?
Well, apparently we're both trying to throw the other under the bus. So that's coming up. Also, Metallica tickets, and we'll tell you how you can win a new TV in about 5 minutes. First, though, Van Lathan back on the phone in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Van, how are you, sir?
What's up, man? Y'all be careful with John Jones, man.
Right?
Don't get him riled up, because we need this fight to actually happen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I know, especially not only with him and with DC, but with so many UFC fights in the last year or so, I feel like you can't even count on any of them happening. They look great on paper, and then they fall apart.
Send that man on a bender or something like that, and all of a sudden we don't get the fight, man. Be easy with him. Go be soft with him.
And then everybody's going to just hate us more than usual.
Yeah.
Look, I just hope he got a driver to come in today. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Because
let's, Van, I am so fascinated with the story at the top of the TMZ.com page this morning. O.J. Simpson, too toxic for a book deal, major publisher say. Are you telling me that there's actually somebody drawing some sort of a line somewhere around O.J. Simpson, finally?
There absolutely is. Now, that's not to say that O.J. Simpson won't get paid upwards of $1 million for his first sit-down television interview. Everyone is expecting there to be sort of a bidding war to see who's going to sit down and talk to him whenever he goes on camera to discuss how his life's been for the last 9 or 10 years. But as far as the book deal, it doesn't look like publishers are, like, running towards him. Now, there's a lot of reasons for this. Number one, O.J. is still a pariah socially, right? Though he was granted parole, and even though between the 30 for 30 documentary and the People vs. O.J. Simpson, he's as famous as he's ever been. He's still a guy that a lot of people believe killed two people.
Yeah. And that's bad PR. If you let him write a book, he can just say whatever he wants to say. If you interview him, you can at least call him on stuff.
Right. If it's a book, it's O.J. in long form.
Right.
You're basically putting money into the hands of a guy who's like...
But hold on a second here, Van. Hold on a second here. And this is the disconnect in my mind. O.J. Simpson lost the civil judgment and is down $30 million in the hole, right? He's got to pay back $30
million. Sure.
So anyone who goes out and buys O.J.'s book is putting money in the Goldman family.
Listen,
they get the money.
That's a very true fact. However, people don't really look at those layers when you're talking about stuff like this, especially publishers. And if you remember the last time O.J. got into the book world, the fiasco of the If I Did It book 2007.
Oh, I forgot about If I Did It. That was such bad taste, wasn't it?
Terrible, right? And it cost somebody their job. So no one wants to kind of put their neck out on the line for him in this case. And a lot of people just don't want to enrich him, even though it is true that the money would end up in the Goldman family's hands. People don't look at it that way.
How about a reality show? We had heard a lot of rumors floating around last week that there was already a bidding war to get him on a reality show. Do you think a network would do that, or you think they would be there'd be too much heat for that?
I think somebody will. I have a question for you guys. Would you guys watch an O.J. Simpson reality show?
I think you'd have to tune in to at least the first one to see if it was interesting.
I think a lot of people would watch it. I mean, people want to see that Cash Me Outside chick. Of course people will watch it.
How about O.J. the Bachelor, Van? He's single.
Oh God. My God.
Right?
He just gives out gloves as he lets the girls go. So
is this going to be, because as you mentioned, he's become even more famous, if that's possible, in the last year with all the TV attention. Do you think as we get closer and closer to October 1st that there's just going to be a fevered pitch and there's going to be like full-time cameras on him after he leaves jail to see where he goes and what he does next?
You guys, this is going to be the fall of O.J. Simpson. This is going to be the entire football season.
You mean the downfall or just the fall?
The autumn.
The autumn of O.J. This is what I mean. This whole season is going to be all about O.J. Simpson.
You could be right. All right, we have Van Lathan on the phone from TMZ.com. One other thing we wanted to talk to you about, you got a new R. Kelly story up. The one that got away. What's going on here, Van?
So apparently not everybody was so willing to join R. Kelly's alleged sweatpants wearing sex cult that he has in two different states. We actually were able to find a young woman who says, despite the gifts of cash and promising to jumpstart her career, she resisted the urge to be urinated on by R. Kelly. And she says the two of them exchanged calls and texts. He made all the same promises because R. Kelly sort of has an M.O. when he's doing this, right? I'm going to make you a star. I'm going to do this. And allegedly he gets the women in, and then he sort of works his magic on them, and then all of a sudden they can't go anywhere. They can't do anything. She says she went to R. Kelly's place a couple of times. He paid her $200 when she visited him, sort of as a good faith that there would be more money to come. But it was her mother that intervened and said, something about this doesn't seem right. I don't like this, and talked some sense into her, and she did not end up as part of what some of the other parents are saying is a destructive sort of cult that R. Kelly has over these females.
Something about this didn't look right. Didn't they know who R. Kelly was before she stepped foot in his house? I mean, this guy's got a track record.
Yo, I don't think people care, man. I think the lure of fame and sort of having a lifestyle like these girls are allegedly afforded is enough to get people to forget what we've gotten from R. Kelly for the last 15 or 20 years. I really do believe that, because some of these people we're talking to, they're saying it's not actually him that's keeping them into this situation. It's the lifestyle lifestyle. It's everything that they're getting from him. So I think it's enough for a lot of people. And by the way, since the cult allegations came out, there have been more girls on social media that have said, listen, if R. Kelly comes through my town, I'm down to join the cult.
Right, so because for 23 hours and 50 minutes of every day, he's not peeing on you.
Plus, he supplies the sweatpants. How comfy are you? Like, that's just a good time, right?
So, exactly. I mean, he, like a great man said, just grab him by the pee. You're a celebrity. You can get away with it. So
there you go.
All right. Van Lathan on Twitter at his name, TMZ.com. Don't forget TMZ Live airing Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox Channel 11, the old OG TMZ throughout the day, same channel on TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Van, very much enjoyed talking to you. Have a great week, sir. Thank you.
You too, guys. Peace.
Appreciate it.
All right, here's the deal. We promised you a brand new TV. No looting involved this time. We are actually just going to give it out, and this is a beauty, too. A TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K Smart TV. Allie, you want to break down the specifics of that, please? Tell folks what that means.
55-inch means it's 55 inches.
Uh-huh. Horizontally or vertically?
Both.
Nope, just...
okay.
Angular.
Angular.
Top right, lower left.
Top right, lower left, yes. 55.
TCL... what's the P-Series?
The P... series. R. Kelly developed.
Okay. Let's maybe not. It's America's fastest growing TV brand, and we want you to have one right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you can call to play a game. Kevin, what kind of contestant are we looking for this time around?
If you could identify TV theme songs.
Ooh,
or if you could identify really bad versions of TV theme songs. It might be very difficult. Huh. Call now 1-800-520-1067.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Mornings on K-Rock.
You represent the absolute worst.
LA and OC's alternative rock, KROQ.
I'd like to apologize in advance for what you're about to hear.
Oh, that means Omar must be here. Every time there's an apology in advance, it means Omar is somehow involved.
It's going to be painful, and we're sorry.
This is a TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K Smart TV, by the way, which is beautiful. It's America's fastest-growing TV brand, and I can't believe this, but we have one to give away right now at 1-800-520-1067, and we have one to give away every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. It seems too good to be true. Now, what's Omar doing here exactly?
Omar is going to sing TV theme songs.
Yeah, I am.
And you have to identify what the TV show is. Now, the problem is Omar doesn't know most of these.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
That is true.
So, good luck, people.
Omar Rokey as a singer. Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Now, I'm looking at this list here, Omar, and several of these songs are current TV shows that are still on the air. Some are no longer being aired, but they're all big, popular shows from the last, 15 years or so?
15, 20 years.
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. And you're going to be singing as best you can the theme song. We'll go to you on the phone, and if you can identify what TV show Omar is singing, you go into the drawing. Somebody at the end of the segment will win the brand new TV. Who's our first contestant, please?
Oscar from Whittier. Welcome, Oscar.
Hey, good morning.
Good luck.
You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Woke up this morning, got yourself a gun. Your mama always said you'd be the chosen one.
That's not terrible. It's not. Oscar, TV show?
Oh, I don't know. Breaking Bad.
Sorry, that's The Sopranos. Woke up this morning. I mean, look at that. I don't know that you've...
It's very sexy.
Thank you, Oscar.
I don't like the way you're moving. Joe and Pico Rivera. Hi.
Hello.
All right, you ready for Omar?
I hope so.
Good luck.
So no one told you your life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke. Your life's a DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear.
Thank you, O. Thank you, O. Joe.
Right?
Come on!
That's enough. That's all you need.
That's the giveaway.
Oh.
It was on for 10 years, Joe. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of the name.
Joe.
Dude.
TV show's Friends.
It's called Friends, Joe.
Someone told you life was gonna be this way.
Get off my phone.
Come on, right?
Come on. All right, let's go to Dave in Camarillo. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Well, Dave, we need somebody to get into the drawing so that we can have a winner for this TV set. So I hope it's you. Listen up. Here's Omar with a TV theme song.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV. But where are those
Family Guy?
It seems today.
Nicely done.
That all you see.
Should have just let me finish at least.
Nope, yeah, you did the right thing.
Yeah. Les Omar, as quickly as they can butt in, please do.
Correct. Let's go to Adrian in Mentone. Hi there.
Top of the morning.
Same to you. Here's Omar. Apologize in advance.
Riding through this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own. The crow flies straight, a perfect line. On the devil's path until you die.
All right, Adrian.
I hope it's soon.
I don't know what that is.
Is that a Little House on the Prairie?
Props for a comedy answer, but no, that was Sons of Anarchy. Come on.
Right into this world.
Yeah. It didn't sound like this.
You really heard it.
I mean, look, who hasn't confused Little House on the Prairie for Sons of Anarchy, though, right?
That was a funny answer. Let's go to Rob in San Bernardino. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
How are you doing so far on hold?
I'm doing good, man.
All right.
All right, here we go.
I knew the Friends one.
Everyone knew the Friends one.
Yep. Here we go.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground, was where I spent most of my days chilling out.
Yes, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Nicely done.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground, is where I spent most of my days.
All right, Dave and Rob, both in the drawing. Let's see if we can qualify a couple more people for this brand new TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K Smart TV.
John is calling from Cypress. Hi, John.
Hey, what up, party people?
Give it away a TV. Good luck.
The animals, trap, trap, trap till the cage is full. The cage is full. Stay awake in the dark. Count mistakes.
That was good.
Thank you.
That actually was. That sounded a lot like the real song.
John?
Wow. Why couldn't you guys give me the Sons of Anarchy one?
Yeah, sorry. I wouldn't have got this one either.
Yeah, I got nothing. Sorry.
It's Orange is the New Black.
All right, then we got time for just one more for Omaroki.
All right, let's go to Leonard in Ontario. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
good luck with this.
There's a reason I put this one last.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state the nearly 14 billion years ago. The expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools. We built a wall. We built the pyramids.
Yeah, the Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
I thought I was having some sort of a acid attack or something.
Wow.
That was bizarre.
All right, so it's Dave, it's Rob, it's Leonard. Only one will win today's TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K Smart TV. We'll have more throughout the week, but Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
He earned it. Leonard.
Leonard. Yeah! Congratulations, Leonard.
Awesome, guys. Just in time for football. Go Raiders.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suckfest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com.
Ralph, you'll appreciate this. We heard from a listener who pointed out that we should not be surprised that Kevin did not recognize Harry Styles in the Dunkirk movie this weekend because he did not recognize Paul McCartney in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
That's very true.
Which is a really good thing.
I don't know what Paul McCartney looks like. I don't have a lot of time for that. Okay? There's a lot of people in Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Do you have that disorder, Kevin, that some people get where they can't recognize faces?
I must.
I don't know.
It does kind of sound like it, doesn't
it? I also
it?
Don't care a whole lot.
Who are you people?
Right, but whether you care or not about Paul McCartney, most people know what the man looks like.
Yeah, I know. No, you're yelling at me for Pirates of the Caribbean?
Well, it's just a back-to-back with Harry Styles. I just feel like a human on the Earth probably should know what Harry Styles looks like at this point.
I don't care about Earth.
Let's get back to what we need to do right here, and that's...
That's that info, Bean.
How dare you?
Now, Bean has Asperger's, and...
Nope.
100%. And he says stuff. And one of the side effects of this is that he has no idea if the audience that he's talking to, the person or whoever he's talking to, is at all interested in the story he's telling.
Or I try to make conversation with my coworkers like a regular person.
Which is what he calls it. But so we do.
That's that info being.
To let him know that occasionally it's a swing and a miss. Mm-hmm. And maybe he could fine-tune his skills a bit.
Now, is this the edition live, local, and late breaking? I understand there's like just a last minute addition to the list.
I had to update one 5 minutes ago.
We're updating it by the hour. We're updating this list.
All right, so we're never talking about whatever topic Bean says, and right. This is while you're listening to the music. We can talk back and forth, Bean. So the conversation has never been started. He's never second in. He's always the first person to start a conversation. He starts it like this: Harvey Danger. No lie. Just probably one of my top 100 famous Christmas songs of all time.
A favorite, right.
No one said anything because it's, you know, it's July and he's talking about Christmas.
And it's a top 100.
Right, of Christmas. And so no one says anything. And he says, it's called Sometimes You Have to Work on Christmas Sometimes. And no one said anything. And then Bean said, so good.
That's well, that info being.
If it's in the top 100, right? It's got to be good.
Who's got a top 100 of
when
Christmas
songs? When do you stop counting?
Jared, I have a top 1,000.
Look, we were playing Harvey Danger on the radio.
But that we still don't care.
But it's still Harvey Danger.
Right, but
that's
to
that
me,
info being.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
That's a okay? legitimate,
that's
relatable
info being.
Jumping off point to discuss the band.
No, sir. No, you were discussing Christmas. Okay, here's another one. I'm actually eating ginger snaps right now, you guys.
Jesus.
No one said anything. And then he goes, is that a burn? He doesn't know if any of us are jealous or not. And then nothing. And then Bean goes, which is his way of saying, is this thing on? And then he ends it with, ginger snaps are so good.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, Kevin, you should support that because you, of all
that's
people,
info
love
being.
To burn we people when you have food and they don't.
But we weren't talking about, none of us were eating food.
Right, but I'm saying I will.
That's that info
being.
God
damn it.
All right. They're making a Downton Abbey movie. Sorry, Downton. They're making a Downton Abbey movie. And then no one said anything. So then he feels like we didn't hear him, so they're making a Downton Abbey movie, you guys!
That's that info being.
Pretty big news for a show that was on
that's
for several
that info
years that was
we
highly
just, we don't care.
Acclaimed.
We don't care.
And people love it, and people are excited
care.
About
don't
this.
Don't care,
And you should be too.
Okay. It's crazy when you look back through history. Donald Trump is not the president with the lowest approval rating. Begging the question. Like he's forcing us to say,
who was?
But nobody said anything. So then he goes, President Harry Truman had 22%. No one said anything. George W. Bush, 23. No one said anything. Richard Nixon, 24. No one said anything. Kind of makes President Trump at 35 not look so bad.
Again,
that's that info being
relevant historical
that's
context.
That info being.
But we weren't talking about presidents that have a likability factor,
right? But
or anything in the political world.
But again, I think these days, I think
that's
good information to put in historical perspective.
We're trying to help you here, Bean.
Okay.
I've got a puppy birthday party today.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Okay, so no one says anything, and then. Nothing. Twice.
That's that info being.
Now, you say that knowing you're annoying us, right?
Of course.
That's why you say
no,
that.
No, I'm not trying to annoy. I'm just sharing the excitement I have for
a
big day. Taking the dogs
you
to the beach.
Shut right
that's
that
info being.
I guess I was hoping Allie would ask for photos
that's
or something.
That info
she
being.
Doesn't care. I don't care. No one cares.
Well, it appears to be true.
This one 5 minutes ago. That's the last one. You guys, I miss New Orleans so much. Again, just begging for somebody to ask why. No one said anything. The New Orleans baby cakes were having Christmas in July. Nothing. Christmas music and all that stuff. And stupid Allie butts in and breaks the rule.
No!
You don't talk to Bean when he's doing a thanks for info Bean, because that just encourages him. She says, but would you have gone? And Bean says, get my picture with Santa? Starts at 6 p.m.? You bet!
That's that info, Bean.
It was just last Thursday.
That's that info, Bean.
And I missed it.
That's that info, Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
Look, I love Shark Week.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great. Every year when it comes around, I watch, and they have all the old ones that they show pretty much round the clock. But Michael Phelps versus the great white. I mean, they're out now, right? They're out completely?
Now, let me ask you guys this about that. And Dave, our producer, is in studio because he watched the show last night.
Yeah.
This idea is in a long line of shows on TV throughout many, many years of people racing or fighting or something with animals, right? Humans versus animals seems to be an idea that people are fascinated with. Do you guys remember there used to be an actual TV show called Man versus Beast? Do you remember that?
Now that you say it, I remember that it was a thing, yeah.
Like a guy would challenge a bear to a hot dog eating contest. And
I don't think that's real.
Wasn't Dave, help me out here. Wasn't there one?
Don't look at me, dude.
Don't you remember something about a bunch of midgets? Like, what were they doing? What? They were like racing.
Fever dream.
Let them go. They were racing an elephant who was pulling an airplane or something like that. I mean, it was a bizarre show. Am I right? You remember something like that, right?
Sure is a bad example.
Listen, I do remember something bizarre.
All I remember is Michael Johnson, the sprinter, racing a cheetah. That's the only one I remember.
Okay, now that's a good example because that's just stupid. Just don't do that.
Because obviously the animal is going to be way faster than the human.
So you're saying that's stupid again this time around because obviously a shark is faster than Michael Phelps, so why are they even pretending that it's a contest?
Not only that, the shark doesn't know it's racing.
Right. That was my point earlier, and it's a great point, Kevin. It's unfair. No one told the shark he was racing, so he had no need to go fast.
So he's just listen, out there just swimming.
He's just like, I'm swimming. What are you guys recording me for?
This is the first time I've actually been into Shark Week.
I know. Really?
This is the first time. And this one of...
Welcome to the worst episode ever.
Yeah, and this is part of what got me interested in it.
This?
Yes!
Oh, dear.
Because I wanted to know how they were going to do this. And then, of course, I mean, any sane person would know they're not going to put him in and actually race a shark.
Right,
so I was curious how they're going to do it.
So how'd they do it, Dave?
So what they did is they...
Okay, hold on. Let me play the audio first before you explain exactly how it happened. And I want you to hear the play-by-play that's going on. And as Michael Phelps and the Great White are really going for the finish line.
Phelps closes strong and maintains an average speed of about 5.9 miles per hour.
So one thing that Great White has in common with Michael, it doesn't like to lose either.
Right at the end, you can see the shark diving down to generate speed to breach on a seal. Yep.
The white shark rockets over the finish line, winning the race by 2 seconds.
Woo! Jumps out of the water.
It goes back to the other sharks, and they're like, 2 seconds? What's wrong with you?
Jumps out of the water.
Yeah,
so here's
Here's the thing. It actually feeds instead of racing and still beats Michael Phelps because it doesn't know it's racing. It's a shark.
Here's the deal, though, Kevin.
Yeah, tell us about it, Dave.
So what they did is they measured how fast a shark moves, right, in a certain amount of time.
And they can go like 25, 26 miles an hour.
Yes, but only for a limited...
humans can't.
But only for a limited amount of time.
Right.
So, but to make it fair, they also made a longer distance that these people knew that the shark couldn't sustain that speed for. So they gave Michael Phelps a chance, and they also outfitted him with this weird fin that made him go faster like a shark. So he was
still
swimming.
Still stupid.
Yeah, but it was interesting to learn about these sharks because they did a black reef, a black tip reef shark, and a hammerhead, which they both did. They tested their speed, and Michael Phelps actually swam faster than the black reef.
Yeah, you know why?
Yeah, but and the hammerhead,
the shark
he was
wasn't
way
racing.
Slower. Yes, but what I'm saying is, it was fascinating to
that
know
doesn't
about.
Bother you?
No, because I don't care. Listen, I know they're not going to actually race.
Okay,
but it was fascinating to learn all about these sharks.
So, what did they do? How did they make the race happen if he wasn't in the water with the shark, Dave?
They tested when they got the great white and they had that fake seal and they pulled it along, and they measure the shark how he approaches.
Oh, in the shark by himself?
By himself, in the water.
Okay.
And there was, it's crazy, because I don't know how, well, no, but the great white, they had a boat and pulling the seal. And they would see how it approaches, and then once it accelerated in to get the seal and breach it, that's how they measured it. So they did all the speed, and they did it across the distance. Do you get what I'm saying?
No. What do you mean how they measured it? They measured
they measured how fast...
they took an average speed?
Yeah, they measured how fast the shark was going.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they plotted a course, and then they did Michael Phelps in the same distance.
By himself?
By himself, underwater, swimming.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if he got bit by a shark while he was out there swimming?
It would have been the best thing ever.
It would have been amazing.
And he, you know, they put him in the same waters.
Right,
I don't know why
the
they would do that.
Time,
but
and not
no, but
anywhere
it,
near
it was
the
in,
shark.
It was in South America. And it was in the same, like, it was cold water, so he was, you know, a little slower because it was cold.
Right,
and
of
normally,
course. There's,
normally,
he
swims
him.
In 80-degree water.
Right? No, he would have beat him if it wasn't cold.
Like, 58 degrees. So it was really cold.
Come on, Dave.
I'm just saying, it was kind of interesting.
Okay, so what did I see when I watched this video of
so you see
him
Michael,
racing the shark
you see Michael
side
Phelps,
by side?
You see Michael Phelps underwater swimming, and then they did a bad CGI shark next to him.
Oh, for the love.
Right.
But they're just comparing the speeds. It was fine. And I thought it was quite interesting.
It was Great Gold versus Great White, though. I know that. That's what they were calling it.
Is that what they were calling it?
And I like
it?
How the shark, Michael Phelps had a USA flag around and the shark had a South African
flag.
Leg.
Yeah.
I love Michael Phelps, by the way, who is a dummy. He here's the quote that he said of the show. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while.
Oh, shut up. No one's ever
Are you sure
to
that wasn't about seeing a shark and swimming? Because I'm pretty sure that was when he was in the cage. Look at that, dude. You're not even, you don't even know where that quote's from.
I'm just saying. It yeah. sounds,
and I'm sorry, like, Dave. You're standing up for the
well,
Michael
I'm just saying, like,
versus
that,
the,
that quote
here,
was,
here's what it's, all right, let me read it to you from the article.
Okay.
Then. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while, Michael Phelps said of his interest in taking on the challenge. That to me sounds
okay.
like he's talking yeah. about he's wanted to race a shark for a while, which you know what? He hasn't until Discovery Channel came to him and said, what if we paid you to pretend you were racing a shark?
Well, it's not like just a race, though. It's like comparing your speed.
It's speeds. Not a race at all.
Because you.
It isn't a race at all because one of them isn't racing.
It's just like when we compared our big heads, you know?
Different.
We didn't actually put our heads side to side. We had to measure it first and then measure it again. So,
all right, let me ask you this, though, Dave.
Yes.
In true tradition of all of these shows, was there 57 minutes of setup and then everything happened in the last 2 minutes of the show?
Okay, the final Great White was in the last 3 minutes of the show, but again, they also did a hammerhead and a black tip reef shark.
Right.
And that was right in the middle of it. And they also he also went diving in a cage and the sharks were biting the cage. And so you could see like the inside of the mouth. That was interesting.
Sounds like Dave's in, man.
Dave, I'm all in, man.
Dave's all in.
This is my first Shark Week. I'm excited.
Hold on. Dave's all in on the worst episode of Shark Week ever.
Yeah.
Every other episode
all
is better.
All I know, Croc versus Shark was right after, and I stayed for that, too.
Way better, yes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Way better.
We are all dumber for listening to this.
Yes, that's correct.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
This Metallica tour that is finally coming to Southern California at the Rose Bowl Saturday is getting rave reviews, this Hardwired tour. And by the way, I don't know if you saw the video online. They played a show in Detroit the other night, and they brought up a little girl who, I don't know, did you see it, Allie? She was like 10.
I didn't.
And she's playing drums for Metallica.
Oh my God.
A little girl named Kendalyn comes up, and she sits behind Lars's drumstick, and she plays.
Oh, wow.
So they're having fun out there, and we are giving away some tickets right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a Metallica fan, you'll like this game. It's called Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Can I hear the theme song again, please?
Yeah. Just a Second!
All right, callers are lined up. Kevin, how's this one go?
We're going to play Just a Second. It's from the beginning of a Metallica song. You just have to identify that song. We will play it twice for you.
All right.
So we'll play it twice. Then you have to name the song. And if we get more than one winner, they'll go into a drawing, and then we will do that at the end.
I like it. All right. Who's up first?
Jason in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
You ready for Just a Second?
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right. Here you go. Good luck. One more time.
That is one.
It is one. Nicely done. Hold on, please.
You are in the drawing. So if you're the type of person, when a song starts on the radio and you know what it is, it's a great game for you.
All right. Art is up next from Ontario. Hi, Art.
Yes, hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What's this song? One more time. What is it? Hello?
Could I again?
Nope. Sorry, two times.
Just guess
about it. Or maybe take a guess if you don't know. No, I'm sorry, it's not.
No, that's sad but true.
All right. One and one. Who's next?
Mike in Santa Ana. Hi, Mike.
What's up, party people?
Just a second. Just a second is up. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here's your Metallica song. What is this? One more time.
Nothing Else Matters.
Sorry, it's The Unforgiven. Sorry.
It hurts.
This is difficult. Another Mike in Woodland Hills. Hi there.
What's happening, everyone?
Just a second. Playing Just a Second. Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
All right. Good luck. One more time.
I like it. I love that song.
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
It's Wherever I May Roam.
This has turned out to be a little tougher than I think people expected, yeah. Except for Jason, man. Everyone else is having struggles here.
I got to be honest. Jason had kind of an easy one. John in La Crescenta. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
All right, are you ready?
Ready.
Here's your song. One more time.
That's Enter Sandman.
Yes, it is.
I was going to fight you, John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be allowed to go to his house and beat him up if he didn't get that one. All right, so John's in the drawing.
All right, let's go to Sal in Orange. Hi, Sal.
Hey, man.
How you doing on hold so far with the game? Are you getting them?
I'm dragging on this Monday here.
Uh-oh. All right, here's your Metallica clip. Just a second.
Give me fuel, give me fire. Give me fuel, give me fire.
Awesome. Give me dabba, 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 da. That's fuel.
Yes.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me dabba, dabba, da.
That seems fair and equitable.
I mean, we said the first second,
right?
So if it has the name of it in it, what are we supposed to do?
It's not our fault. We didn't write the damn song. We're just playing them.
All right. Dennis in Northridge. Hi.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You're ready?
Oh, I hope you get fuel, Dennis.
It's not going to be fuel. Here is your clip. Good luck. One more time.
Battery?
Oh, come on!
Dennis!
It's a bell!
It's a bell!
That's the sound of a bell! For Whom the Bell Tolls! Come on!
Oh, get off my phone. All right, one more contestant. See who else we can get into the drawing here.
Holy crap.
Right, Jorge in Orange, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Holy crap. Jeez. All right, are you ready for yours?
Yes.
Here you go. One more time.
Hold on.
You know it? On the tip of your tongue, what is it?
Yep, you've heard it a million times, and it's called?
Nope.
Nope. It's the big Metallica hit we all know as Nope.
It's called Fade to Black.
Yeah, Fade to Black we were looking for, Jorge. But thank you for listening. Thank you for playing. All right, so do I have this right? Is it Jason, John, and Sal? They're all in the drawing? All right, only one will win tickets to go see Metallica at the Rose Bowl this Saturday. A few seats available at Ticketmaster.com, but let's give a pair away. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is John.
John! Congratulations, John.
Oh, you guys made my morning. Thank you so much.
You won the tickets for Metallica. Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game.
Just a second.
K-Rock. LMNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Rob is here now, typing the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bill Show. What's going on?
It is. Well, Monday, that means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dunkirk, no surprise, was the number one film of the weekend. $50.5 million in its debut. Girls Trip was 2 with 30.4, then Spider-Man Homecoming, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Valerian, the City of a Thousand Planets. Were the top 5, Despicable Me 3, Baby Driver, The Big Sick, Wonder Woman, and Wish Upon are your top 10 films around the country. Hey, you remember Jake Paul, don't you?
Sure.
Jake Paul, all the Jake Paulers, they won't let him stop doing his crazy stunts in his neighborhood.
Right.
Because of the Jake Paulers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently,
too powerful an army, he said, to call off from his neighborhood.
Apparently they were not too powerful an army to keep him on television because Disney Channel has asked him to leave.
Yay!
He will no longer be a part of the Disney family and his show, Bizardvark. He's moving on. But he says it's a mutual decision.
Oh, that's great.
Mutual.
It's mutual.
In other words, they watched the news, too, and they saw what an a-hole he is.
Yeah, I don't think they want to be associated with him. He says, at this point, I am wanting to focus more on my personal brand. My YouTube channel, my business ventures, my growing Team 10, and working on more adult acting roles. Love you, Jake Paulers. It's every day, bro. Peace. He sends out to all his Jake Paulers. So.
Oh, you.
If you're a Jake Pauler, go ahead and head out to the desert.
Take a bag with you.
I got a bag waiting for you.
I did feel like that was some karmic justice to have that happen after that news report last week of what an awful neighbor he is.
Yeah. Comic-Con news, of course, a lot of news coming out of San Diego this past week. And Michelle Pfeiffer, it was announced, has been added to the cast of the upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, starring Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly. This news was unveiled on Saturday at the Marvel panel. Michelle Pfeiffer will play Janet Van Dyne, who is the mother of Evangeline Lilly's Hope Van Dyne and wife of Michael Douglas's character, Hank Pym. So she's the original Wasp, just like Michael Douglas's character, Hank Pym, was the original Ant-Man. And then they're passing on the mantles to Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly.
All right.
Kevin says it's all right. They can do it.
I'm in.
John Hurt, sadly, has passed away. Probably best known for his role as Peter McAllister, Macaulay Culkin's dad in the Home Alone movies. He was found dead in a hotel where he was recovering after some surgery. He was just 71 years old. Very talented actor, always good in so many things. He was in Big. He played Tom Hanks's rival at the toy company. And Elizabeth Perkins, ex, if you remember that movie. He was in Beaches with Bette Midler, Sopranos, After Hours, Cat People. So many great roles. So sad news that he passed away.
Had a recurring role in The Sopranos, too.
Yeah.
That's why I said Sopranos.
Oh, did you? I missed that.
Also, he was in The Sopranos.
I don't think so.
I did, Bill. I said that. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Michael Richards is 68 years old today. Karl Malone, NBA legend, is 54. He was known as the post office, right? Isn't that what they called him?
He was the mailman.
The mailman.
Always delivered.
That's where he worked. It's the post office. No. Kristen Chenoweth is 49 years old today. Jennifer Lopez turns 48. Rose Byrne is 38. Summer Glau, 36 years old today. Anna Paquin's 35. Elizabeth Moss is also 35. And Linda Carter! Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman! All the world is waiting for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for their rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
How do you still know all the words to this song, Ralph?
Because it's goddamn national treasure, that's why.
All
right. Still on MeTV every Saturday, you can see it. Sci-Fi Saturdays on MeTV.
Yeah, that Wonder Woman TV show didn't hold up, though, right?
You go right to hell.
I mean, especially now that you have something to compare
you
to.
You go to hell and
the
burn
TV show
in
is
a lake
weak,
of fire.
Is weak compared
fire
to,
must
though,
cleanse
right?
Us. Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Radio.com. Radio.com.
OJ Simpson will be a free man soon. October 1st, I think, is the date he's scheduled to be released from Lovelock out there in Nevada. And his attorney was on, this happened Thursday, the parole hearing. His attorney was on over the weekend on Fox and said that Mr. Simpson is on cloud nine. And think about that for a minute. You've been in jail for 8.5 years. Every day must seem like a week. I mean, that's a long time. And you got nothing to look forward to. Then all of a sudden you get this news. Now, are the last couple of months going to fly by for Mr. Simpson?
No.
Or do you think it will just drag slower than ever before because it's so close?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Plus, I think he probably needs to be a little bit on high alert right now because somebody might want to make a name for themselves before he goes.
I think they put him in protective custody.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh.
Dude, well, I don't know why we're speculating when we got the juice back on the phone. He's still in prison for now, but he is kind enough to jump back on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, OJ, how are you?
You people ask each other a lot of questions that I have the answer to.
Yep.
Yeah. What? To listen on the phone, not being talked to while you're talking about things that I know all the things about.
Well, we're just
crazy.
We're just chatting. Well, listen, we spoke.
I'm glad I'm getting out of prison.
Oh no, no, don't say that, OJ.
I got some things I could fix.
No,
okay. I think out there in the world.
No, we spoke to you before the parole hearing, and I know that you were optimistic. But I mean, man, it couldn't have gone any better for you.
I'm on cloud nine right now.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Actually, it's cell block nine, but still, there's a nine.
We felt like you were trying to sabotage that parole hearing a little bit. We were worried that it sounded like you were saying all the wrong things in front of those people, but they still seemed to vote your way.
Look, I'm just a Jew. I'm just trying to be a good guy. That's all. Mm-hmm. And so I just said what was on my mind, and it turns out my mind does not work so well.
So, OJ, what about this protective custody that Kevin is talking about? Is it possible that you have some enemies in there who might like to have a shot at you before you leave?
No, I am so popular. I think the warden's just afraid that they might love me too much.
Oh.
That I might get hugged to death because everybody's going to miss me so much in here. They pretty much look up to me like I'm a big brother or a father. And so lots of guys, I think, want to give me just hugs and kisses.
Right.
A lot of kisses. A lot of guys want to give me kisses.
Right.
And you know, they want to give me presents, like a shiv.
Right. Okay, right.
Or a broomstick handle.
Those don't sound like presents.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, you know, these things are different inside prison. People give things in different ways.
All right.
They're going to put me in protective custody so that I don't get killed before I get released.
Nice. Well, I think you've got to be very happy about that.
Yeah,
all right.
Because I got a lot of things, a lot of plans that I'm going to do when I get out.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Like
what? I'm healthy when I get out so I can get to work right away.
All right. Mm-hmm.
That's October 1st, so how do you start? What's your first day?
I'm going to finally get myself a TV show.
Oh, you think so? You think somebody's going to hire you to be on TV?
I don't think so. I know so. I'm going to have my own reality show, and it's going to be on every week, and I hope you all tune in.
What's it called? Who's airing this?
I'm coming up with a lot of options, a lot of possibilities, got a lot of irons in the fire.
Right.
Talking to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
I'm pitching some ideas myself.
Okay.
I talked to Mark Burnett, and I said, how about Survivor?
Survivor?
Me on an island with 20 people.
No.
And whoever survives at the end gets $1 million.
I'm uncomfortable with that, with you being in a position to eliminate other contestants.
How about Fear Factor? Get a bunch of blonde women.
No.
With me. And see if they can overcome their fear of me.
Okay.
Fear's not a factor for them. Or is it? We'll see. I don't know. We'll find out. That's exciting.
We're going to say no on Fear Factor as well, OJ.
How about Top Chef?
I don't need you with knives.
I'm really good with knives.
Nope. No.
I can chop, slice, dice.
Right.
Cut a tin can.
Right.
OJ, these are bad ideas.
Yeah.
How about the amazing slow speed race?
Now I'm in.
Where that Phil Kogan guy just gives people places to go, and everybody gets on a Bronco and goes down the freeway really slowly and see who gets there first.
That sounds like a good show.
How about Pawn Stars? I just wait till someone comes in trying to cash in on some of my memorabilia.
Oh no.
I pull out a gun and say, give me that back.
Well, I think the pulling the gun thing is the problem here.
Yeah, don't make that mistake again.
How about the real Dead Housewives of Brentwood?
Oh, okay. Oh, no, okay. Hard pass there. No.
Because I killed the lady one.
Yeah, we got it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Hi, I'm John Jones of the UFC.
The kid is extremely talented. He can kick and punch from any direction.
Oh, my goodness! Big elbows from Johnny Bones Jones.
When's the last time we saw Matt Hamill get tossed around in a fight? Probably only by John Jones. I mean, he's really that good.
And now Jones looks to be taken down by John Jones.
definitely become more confident, and I believe in myself. You have to believe in yourself to fight one of the toughest men in the world. That's just how it goes.
This kid's on just another level. Look what he did to Shogun. Look what he did to Machida. Those are two guys who are dominant over a lot of dudes, and John Jones just ran through them.
The youngest world champion in UFC history, ladies and gentlemen, and joining us is the one, the Kevin DeBean Show, the man himself, John Bones Jones.
Thank you.
Hey, John, how are you, man?
Doing awesome.
It's great to see you. You know, I was looking over what the last few years have been like for you. You fought one time in 2014, UFC 172, one time in 2015, UFC 182, one time in 2016, UFC 197. You're brilliant. No one works less than you.
Yeah,
a fight a year. That's a great strategy.
Hey, man. A few million a year is good with me.
So,
does that make it more difficult? If not fighting that much?
Not really.
Is there ring rust? No,
I think everything, you know, it's in a way I'm preserving myself. You know what I mean? I'm still the youngest guy in the top five and the most accomplished. And so, you know, a lot of these guys are getting, you know, farther away from their prime. And I just turned 30 a few days ago. So I feel like it hasn't hurt me too much.
What'd you do for your birthday, John?
I did absolutely nothing. I trained four times that day.
Trained four times?
Yep, four
times. You're going to save the party for Saturday night, sounds like.
Absolutely. I'm going to freaking go so hard.
That's interesting. You know, we're so used to, in so many sports, thinking of 30 is starting to age out, you know. But you're right. I mean, some of the best fighters in the history of the UFC have been guys in their 30s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great. I mean, you look at Randy Couture. Like, I think he started at, like, 34 or something like that.
That's crazy.
And he became a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you know, fighting is not a sport like football where every year there's just some young, just as big, just as fast as you guy coming around. You know, it's like, you know, fighting is a sport where a lot of your success has to do with your knowledge. You know, it's a, you know, your body is just a small part of it. You know, my knowledge is what's got me this far. So, yeah, I feel like I have many years to come.
Now, you've been saying lately that you think you are in the peak physical condition of your life, the best shape you've ever been in.
Yes.
Is it because you want it more, you tried harder this time around, or have you learned something new that has enabled you to get to this level?
I think I want it more. I think having, you know, I've been through a lot of controversial things, and I think, you know, going through these suspensions has allowed me to take a step back and appreciate what I had and who I was in the sport. And so I just feel like I appreciate things more. I think my maturity level has gone up tremendously. And I used to have this mindset of the success would never end. And now I actually realize that it's a small window and that you need to protect it and do right by it. So I just take everything so much more serious.
Dude, the suspensions and the problems in your personal life that have happened over the years, does that make it more important for you to win Saturday?
Absolutely.
To get back on track?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I feel like my life's been on track. It's been 2 years since I've done something like really, really off the wall. I mean, my last situation, I took a male enhancement pill that just so happened to be a tainted supplement. That was a total mistake. That wasn't a malicious or me being immature or whatever. That was a freak.
It was a bad break.
Yeah, it was a freak situation. And I feel like I've found a lot of peace in my personal life since all this stuff has happened. You know, like I said, it's been 2 years. And I've forgiven myself. I've dealt with the consequences of my actions.
That's a lot easier said than done, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah.
To forgive yourself and to try to figure out a way to move past it and not let it hang around.
I have found a way through staying close to the positive people in my life, my family, people who really care about me. And we've healed from that. And in my personal life, I have a lot of light in my life. But in my career, I think, you know, people don't really know who I am as a person, and they sum me up to some of the trouble that I've been into. So I feel like me winning this fight Saturday night will allow people to forgive a little bit more, maybe forget a little bit more, and get excited about my future instead of dwelling on the things of my past.
Do you pay attention to all the talk about your personal life and the problems that you've had. I mean, it's got to be at some point, you've got to be able to tune that out, or
I do.
It would just be too depressing.
It has been depressing, and I think every stage of it is necessary. You have to go through the hurt, and you have to be a CEO. You have to know what's being said about you, and so I've come to terms with my realization or my perception, and I'm taking the appropriate actions to change the narrative.
This is the voice of John Bones Jones here on the Kevin Green Show. Obviously, we're looking forward to and talking about UFC 214. Cormier versus Jones 2 is going to be Saturday night at Honda Center, event airing on pay-per-view. A limited number of tickets still available at Ticketmaster. Do you think it is unfair the way this fight is being framed in many's minds, John, as a good versus bad?
Life isn't fair. Right, life isn't fair.
But there are people who love Daniel because he does seem to be such a stand-up guy who plays by the rules and doesn't get in the kind of troubles that you have, and it's easy for them to frame it as a Rocky versus Drago type situation.
You're not one of those, though.
I get the
feeling that you're not one of those that thinks that way about DC.
I this doesn't sell tickets, but I actually think he is a stand-up guy. I mean, he's a very respectable man and champion.
You've done a lot of interviews side by side with him where you say just the opposite things.
Yeah, I mean, I want to slap him in the face every second I get. But that's
you'll get your chance.
That's the competitor in me. I mean, I put myself in this situation, and it's up to me to help people forget by just doing the right things moving forward.
Does it get how do you not let it get under your skin? The personal nature of the war of words, and that he says a lot of bad stuff about you. You say a lot of bad stuff about. How do you not let that?
The way it doesn't get under my skin is it's the same insults every time. I've heard them so many times now. I have skin like an armadillo.
It's like a script, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm this and I'm that. Okay, like, what else?
But all you have is to make fun of his hairline, though, John. I mean,
that's funny.
Well, and his weight.
I normally wouldn't come at someone for their weight. You know, my mom was a big woman. You know what I mean?
And right.
Some of my favorite people are big people. But,
DC's not one of them?
He's not one of my favorite people, no. It's competition. And a lot of me making fun of him, it's just to keep people entertained and to give the fans content and you know, things to be excited about, right, and tweet about.
Sure.
We need to take a break. When we get back,
come on. We're talking to Bones.
When we get back, I want you to answer the question, do you still consider yourself the champ? So we'll just take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
John, Bones Jones is in the studio with us. We got a text message from somebody asking if you still consider yourself the light heavyweight champ of the world.
I do.
We have bad news for you then, John.
I 100% consider myself the light heavyweight champion of the world. I've never lost, and I think I'll be a champion until the day I die. I mean, I've had some suspensions and things like that. I feel like the belt doesn't make me a champion. I feel like I'm a champion because of my work ethic and because of my heart and my courage to go out and do what I do.
Do you need to win the fight Saturday for everyone else to feel that way?
Yeah, it'd be huge for everyone else to feel that way, but really it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. I know that I'm a champion, through and through.
I am too, then, for that matter.
Nope. I mean, honestly, if you don't have to win, then I'm the champ.
Like I said, having the belt's one thing and being a champion's another thing. Daniel Cormier, he's a champion as well.
All right.
There we go.
What a diplomatic answer.
I am the champion.
Okay, all right. V versus A, got it. All right, let's play some Nirvana here. John Bones Jones, our guest in studio. The fight, of course, UFC 214 is this Saturday. See it in person if you can at the Honda Center, otherwise pay-per-view. And we're taking your questions and your comments if you want to text us at 1-800-520-1067. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock.
If something's lame and it ain't that good, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock. Rock.
Delighted to have John Bones Jones in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. And Kevin, I got to be honest, I'm very impressed that you have held your tongue a little bit now that Bones is in here with all that smack talk that you did earlier today, man.
Oh, I was just saying Allie was talking about beating him up. So
yeah.
We're all trying to pass that around.
Hey, John, we were talking to you during the song there about your two brothers that ended up in the NFL. Was that ever anything that you might have a path you might have pursued as well?
Yeah, so I no, to answer your question.
So no interest? Or?
I had a coach tell me early, he said, John, you dedicate your life to wrestling and I will get you a scholarship guaranteed. I was a guy who, so yeah, obviously I focused on wrestling, but I was a guy who on the football team, I was always third string. My brothers were always the team captains.
And
annoying. I was like, yeah, 6'4", 170, and a defensive tackle. So yeah, I knew I would never be looked at, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it seems like it's worked out pretty well for everybody. All right, we got a bunch of text questions that I'll get to, but I want to ask first. That was a great fight the last time you and DC fought. Of course, the rematch is UFC 214 this Saturday at Honda Center. How do you rank Daniel in the list of competitors that you have beaten over the years? I mean, it took you all five rounds. Where do you put him? In terms of, best to worst,
Daniel, he's not the only guy that I wasn't able to finish. But as far as giving me an intense matchup, he's not my my toughest competition. He's been my biggest rival because of the war of words. But as far as in the octagon giving me a real challenge, I would have to say it came from Alexander Gustafsson.
Yeah,
Daniel, I feel like I beat fairly easy. There was no point in the fight where I was hurt or bleeding or exhausted or put in a bad position. I coasted through the first fight.
Okay.
And now he's 2 years older, so
fair enough.
Nice to see. Yeah.
All right. Let me see. Mike from West Covina, longtime John Jones fan. He's looking for a prediction if you have the fight laid out in your mind, how you're going to beat him in what round.
I have a very strong conviction that I'm going to finish this fight by the third round, TKO.
Third round TKO. Okay. Why?
Why? I'm not going to tell you why.
Okay. All right.
Like, I guess I'll have to take that answer.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I wasn't expecting this, but tell me if you hear this a lot from your fans, John. This is from the 626, no name on the text. Great attitude, Johnny. I struggled with substance abuse, and you are a great inspiration, too, for a lot of people, especially me. That's why I want you to run over DC. Have you heard from people who have also had drug problems in the past who are kind of looking at you going, wow, there's a guy who got through it, and it's an inspiration?
I have heard from people who's had some substance issues and how, you know, it's inspiring to them that I continue to fight forward and move forward in my life and not let my past or those issues define who I am. And I'm honored to be able to be that for someone else.
There definitely seems to be a piece about you right now. You seem, there's obviously been growth. There's been, you've been looking inward, that type of thing. But you seem very at peace.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, I've had time away from the sport to kind of reevaluate my life.
How much does that suck when you get a year suspension? How much does that suck?
You know, it sucks. It hurts. But at the same time, you have to find the good. You owe it to yourself to try to find the good in every situation. Either you could sit at home or you can get up and do something about your situation and that's what I've done with this time. I've used the time to do a lot of self-reflecting and to get to know myself better and who I am and become more confident in the person that I am despite my downfalls and I'm happy with who I am.
I would be so fat if I had a year of suspension. I would do nothing but eat.
But you would never be in shape, ever.
No, but what I'm saying is, but you know that you have all that time off. You don't have to be in the gym every day when you know you can't fight for at least a year.
Right.
Did you
let up any?
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't sit here and act like it was super easy. I went through a depression stage. I ate, you know, I got up, your feelings? I got up to about 247, which is the heaviest I've ever been.
And what are you at now?
Right now I'm about 220.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot. Wow.
Yeah, I competed at 205. Yeah, it was heavy. I went through that, and it was necessary. It was appropriate. But, you know, the thing was is not to stay there and to come up with a plan in moments like that. And that's what I did, and now I'm here.
UFC 214, Saturday night, Honda Center. Great lineup, by the way, with lots of other great fights on the card, including Tyron Woodley, that fight, the Chris Cyborg fight. I mean, it's a stacked card this Saturday night. So
like
please get it on pay-per-view. And I hate to ask this question, John, but I must, because it's the freak show of all time. Please give us your thoughts on Conor versus Floyd, because...
Conor versus Floyd. That's going to be amazing. It's amazing.
Is it?
It's amazing for boxing and for MMA. Boxing has, you know, old school fans. They're over 100 years old. where we're just.
It's not just dumb, though, John. Is it possibly just dumb?
Bean is very annoyed by this fight.
I really am. Because I feel like it's not a sport.
I mean, are you a fan of WWE?
No.
I feel like it's just.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. That's what it is. It's just great entertainment. It means nothing to either fighter, right? There's nothing at stake here, so why should I care?
What if Conor gets one punch off and Floyd goes down?
Because he's 49-0. That's where 49-0 really sort of does put a lot of pressure on
him. No, it doesn't. This doesn't matter to him because this is not a real fight against a boxer.
Does this
even go on his record if he loses it? It's like an exhibition.
Hey, calm down, man.
I think a high-level athlete like Floyd knows that every fight's a real fight. And that everyone has a puncher's chance. This is going to be extremely great for both sports, extremely entertaining for the general fan.
All right, Dana got to you, John.
Would you do it?
I would absolutely do it. For the payday that I think McGregor's going to.
I'd do it.
Absolutely. Freaking knock me out. Klitschko, whoever. Freaking bomb squad.
You would fight a nun for this kind of money, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A small child.
All right, I have one last question, and that is, if you beat DC.
When?
Come on, Kevin, get it together.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
He's no fighter.
Okay. Right. Is the beef over?
The beef has been over.
It has been over.
It really has. I mean, I beat the guy the first time. He's no different to me than any other of my opponents. The only difference is this is my first rematch. But
there's been a lot of smack talk going back and forth for years.
Yeah.
And your interview on UFC and Fox the other night, they asked you that question about whether you guys could respect each other as fighters and move on past this after this. And your quote was FDC.
FDC. I want that to trend. when I'm dominating him, I would love it if the crowd just started saying, FDC.
Oh, I think that's going to happen, John.
FDC. Come on, guys. Get it in your mind now. FDC.
Your people will bring that chant, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the feud is over now, and it'll even be more over when you win, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see myself respecting DC in the future. I can see us being at the same charity event and having a mutual respect. You know, it takes a great opponent to be great. There's no Muhammad Ali without Joe Frazier. You know, so I realize the importance he has and that we have in each other's career.
Yeah.
And for that, I do have a certain degree of respect for him. But, you know, right now, we just stays away from the fight. And as of right now, it's FDC.
Gotcha. Fair enough. All right. Someone out there is going to get that tattooed on their skin, I bet.
Yes. Get it on your forehead.
UFC.
That's great advice.
14. Ticketmaster.com. A limited number of tickets available to see at the Honda Center. And, of course, the rest of us will be watching it on pay-per-view. Man, it's been fun having you in here today. It's great to see you again.
FDC.
Stay well. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
So, Sean Spicer gone.
Yeah.
What's up?
He lasted 6 months as the White House press secretary, and he resigned on Friday because he disagreed with his boss being hired, this Anthony Scaramucci guy that Mr. Trump brought in. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to work with him. Nobody's saying anything bad about the other, but Sean said, you know what, it's time for me to go off and seek some greener pastures. And by the way—
But the president wanted him to stay on, right?
President wanted him to stay on, yeah. 6 months in that job had to feel like 60 years, didn't
it? I agree.
Can you imagine what a hard job it would be to face the press every day? I mean, it's hard for any White House press secretary, especially tough for this one. So what is Sean Spicer going to do next? I think we may be about to find out. This is a little bit of an exclusive. Mr. Spicer joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys? How are you doing?
We're doing fine. How was your weekend? Did you enjoy yourself for the first time all year?
Come on. It was the greatest weekend that anyone has ever had. It's more people enjoyed this past weekend than anyone has ever enjoyed in a weekend.
We were just asking you about your weekend, though.
Yes, exactly. And you try to say that it's my weekend, it's somebody else's weekend. You're always trying to turn it around, but the weekend was a great weekend, and I think you just need to accept that.
Okay. All right, we're not battling with you. It was really just a softball to get the interview started.
Well, you say it's softball, but when you know, if someone is standing at the plate and you're throwing a softball, and if you're not wearing the batting helmet, then it can hit you in the side of the head and make and give you a lump.
That's true.
I can't really argue with that. All right, so what do you think? What do you think you're going to do now that you are unemployed after August? Right, you're going to stay on for a few more weeks with Mr. Trump, and then you're out on your own.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of options. There's millions and millions and millions of options available to me.
Really?
More options than have ever been available to anyone before, and they're all there for choosing. And
did you say millions and millions?
Millions and millions more options than anyone has ever had in the history of options. And
right.
I think that it's just a matter of finding the right one that is the right, correct one. Mm-hmm. From all the options.
Okay. What would you like to do?
Well, again, there you go. With liking and not liking, I would like to be, I'd like to fly.
Okay.
But I can't. I can't fly.
Okay.
I can't just lift off into the air and just go through the air flying.
No.
I would like that, though. I would like to do that. So why you're trying to put me in a situation where it's like liking is the same thing as doing.
I regret my question.
I can't always have it with the understanding of how many likes I have.
All right. Mr. Spicer, Sean Spicer on the phone here on Nicky Rock. I know that you're still getting paid by the White House, so maybe you have to temper your remarks. But what has been the hardest thing about being the press secretary?
It's too much great stuff.
I'm sorry?
Too much great things.
Well, there were some challenges, though, weren't there?
It's the hard. The president did so many great things, and it was hard to decide which ones to talk about, because everyone, the news, the mainstream news, was choosing not to focus on the good things that were all the things he was doing, and all the bad things. There were no bad things. First of all,
you just said all the bad things.
Then those people would just focus on those things, and then you wouldn't even pick the things that were the good ones.
Okay, so it was the fake news, basically. That was the biggest problem.
That's you saying that. That's your phrase. You're the one saying.
It's not my phrase at all. I'm just repeating what I hear from the White House.
You're saying what you're hearing in the media, and the media is saying that, but it's not anything that we've ever said or the president has ever said.
The president says
he says it all the time.
He tweeted it this morning.
There you go.
What does that even mean?
There you go.
Exactly.
What?
Huh?
Hey, Sean, remember that time you hid out in the bushes out in the White House because you didn't want the reporters to film you?
Now, see, there's another situation.
Remember that? That was funny.
You're saying things that...
Did you hide in the bush?
Said that,
did you hide in the bush?
There was a bush.
Okay, were you hiding in it?
There was a bush involved.
Were you hiding in the bush?
I was in the region of the bush.
Right.
I was in the bush region.
Were you hiding?
It was a regional bush situation.
Right.
And I was behind the bush.
Were you trying to not let the press find you?
It was not because of a situation where there was a viewing of through the bush to me that would indicate that there was something that was, the bush was in some way being used as a non-visual procedure.
And you feel you just made your point clearly, Sean?
See, that's what I'm saying, yes. I can't wait to get out of this job.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all losers. I hate these guys.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Fresh out of Comic-Con this weekend in San Diego, our friend Ralph Garman is back. What's going on?
Speaking of Comic-Con, have you seen that footage of Gal Gadot comforting that little girl who meets her at Comic-Con? She's doing a signing.
I've not seen that.
The Justice League is all there, and they're signing posters and stuff, doing one of their autograph signings. And there's this little girl who's got to be, I don't know, 7 or 8, comes up to her in a Wonder Woman cape and tiara and everything, and just is overwhelmed with meeting her face to face and just starts to weep. And Gal Gadot reaches across the table and takes her hand and just is amazingly...
Slaps her?
No, she doesn't slap
Kevin.
Her.
Well, I'm just trying to
guess. She comforts her and makes her smile and dries her tears and sends her on her way to meet drunk Ben Affleck down at the end of the table. And it's just, it's a wonderful moment to see her... She's just the best.
She is the best.
She is Wonder Woman.
She gets the real deal. She definitely gets it.
She's Wonder Woman.
She is.
She's the real Wonder Woman. She's wonderful and a woman.
hating me for the way I look as if perfect bone structure and flawless skin is something I can help. I may not need to moisturize, but I still have feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
I get that.
Hats off to Wonder Woman, by the way. The highest grossing film of the summer in North America. Passing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with $389 million this weekend. Wonder Woman is also now in second place for 2017 overall, behind only
17 overall.
What's the top grossing film of 2017 so far? Wonder Woman second. What's number one?
The Emoji Movie.
The Emoji Movie. Oh. It hasn't come out yet. Yes, that's the one. That's the one, Kevin.
Pre-sales are off the charts.
Sweet Jesus in heaven. You had 7 months worth of movies to pick. You picked the one that comes out this weekend.
I just picked the one that I thought would be funny.
Fire Must Cleanse Us.
Fire Must Cleanse Us indeed.
That's not
Chip.
Even a movie. What's wrong with you?
The Beauty and the Beast.
Is it?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies this weekend. Dunkirk was $50.5 million. Made it number one this weekend. People love the Nazis, right?
I don't think that's
the
takeaway. No.
Like, Nazis really look good at Dunkirk.
No.
They don't?
No.
They showed up with better tanks and drove those guys right into the water. I think that's a pretty good showing. I think they win that one.
They won that battle. That's
God
for sure.
Goddamn right they did, right?
But that's not
we're
why people
the Nazis,
are going.
Right?
No,
that's what we're
no,
saying.
No,
we're not saying that at all.
No.
Ridiculous.
Why is it so popular then? Why do people like it so much?
It's an inspiration.
Because the French get their asses kicked? And people like the French get their asses
it's
kicked?
It's an inspirational story.
By the way, thank you
you're
for bringing that up.
You're a bunch of losers. Get driven in the water. That's inspirational. How about don't be a loser? How about that for an inspirational message?
You've been watching the president too much.
I like soldiers who don't get driven into the water, okay? Those are the best ones.
I'm glad you brought up the French because I'm not even joking about this. And I do not have as much familiarity with the Battle of Dunkirk as I should. So, Kevin, I'm going to direct this question to you because you saw the movie this weekend.
Yes, I did. All right.
Go ahead,
I almost did a spit take.
Yes,
I learned not to drink.
Yes,
I read that they are outraged in France as to how much their participation in the Battle of Dunkirk was minimized. And they're like, hey, we were there too. We did just as much as the British did. How come the movie is not more about us?
Well, I mean, it was a real straight on. They pretty much just told them all British first. They called all of the people who have boats, just pleasure boats. And they said, come get servicemen. And then if you were French, they said no. Sorry, get to the back of the line. We're getting all the British out first.
I mean, I guess where would the French have gone? They were already in their country, I guess. But they said they had a lot more participation in making that miracle evacuation happen than they are given credit for.
I mean, they were given no credit.
Yeah. French like to complain a lot, though, about things.
They were so busy surrendering. It was really hard. Really hard for them to focus on anything else. They didn't even know what was going on.
Look at all these white flags we made.
So their hands were so high up in the air.
They were given no credit.
French are the worst,
saying.
Right? We know that much. That much we can all agree on. That's why I made $50 million this week, because everybody hates the French.
Oui, right? Oui, mademoiselle.
Thank you. Girls Trip was number two at the box office, $30.4 million. Spider-Man Homecoming, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Valerian were your top five films. Despicable Me 3, Baby Driver, The Big Sick, Wonder Woman, and Wish Upon rounded out the top 10. It was Comic-Con this weekend. Lots of big news coming out of Comic-Con, including the fact that Ben Affleck has decided he absolutely is going to stay on in the role of Batman for the, at least for the foreseeable future when they do this standalone Batman movie. He is saying rumors are not true. He's not giving up the cape and cowl. He's going to stick around. Those rumors started because the new director, Matt Reeves, who took over when Ben Affleck said, I'm not going to direct so much, said about Ben's script that he developed, we're not going to film that one so much.
Oh.
They're coming up with a brand new story, which made a lot of people speculate maybe they're going to go with a younger Batman and reboot the franchise yet again. But Ben Affleck says, nope, he's not going anywhere. He says he's the luckiest guy in the world. He also said Batman's the coolest part in the universe. And he also said, I need another drink.
I don't think that's accurate.
This is ridiculous. Ben Affleck doing Kevin on that sports show was the best thing I ever
heard. How dare you?
I think he's gotten help since then.
Has he?
Mm. I think so.
Okay.
Let's root for Ben.
Football players across the board, they think it's bull.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was not sober on the Bill goosey. Simmons show. He
it's
was
a
not.
Ridiculous smear campaign.
Smear campaign.
But he made that
you
show
have
worth
scores
watching.
Of the football games on that thing, by any chance?
That was a different show.
That was a different show. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. Sure was.
How about this one?
Deflategate is the ultimate bullshitting outrage of sports ever. It's so f***ing stupid.
I'm telling you.
I mean, let's root for him. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll root. Also coming out of Comic-Con, this news. Arrow's adding a new cast member, a gentleman by the name of Michael Emerson. You remember him as
right.
Ben Linus from Lost, and of course, he was on a series for a couple seasons called Persons of Interest. Now he is moving on to Arrow. He's
terrific actor. Love him.
A yet unknown character, but he's a terrific actor, and he's going to make that show that much better. And Flash has announced they're going to have a special guest star this season as well. A gentleman named Danny Trejo will be showing up on
about
The Flash.
That? All right.
A lot of good superhero news coming out of Comic-Con, as you would imagine.
This
past
is Machete.
Weekend. Hey, Machete.
What did you think of the goofy Flash in the Justice League trailer, Ralph?
I loved it. Hoping for the best.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Hoping for the best.
Loved it.
Yep. That's all you need to know. Kevin loved it. That's fine. Just hoping for the best.
How dare you?
My movie club's not going to pick that one. I hope it's my wick to pick.
Then
I
haven't heard
pick
much
that.
From the movie club in a while. Kevin, how's that been going?
Cinema Sinners. We're all going to get on the bus. Get on the movie. They call it the movie bus. And then we go to the theaters. And I said, girl trip this week. And I got devoted. And everybody said, no, we're going to see Kundirk.
Oh, it was Kundirk? Is that how you saw it? It was the movie club choice?
The movie club said Kundirk, and we had to see it in 70 millimeter. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Richards is 68 years old today. Karl Malone turns 54. Kristen Chenoweth, 49 years old. Jennifer Lopez is 48. Rose Byrne is 38. Summer Glau, 36 years old today. Anna Paquin, 35. Elizabeth Moss is 35. And speaking of Comic-Con and comic book superheroes and Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, 66, today. Hi, Wonder Woman.
All the world is waiting for you.
You go, girl.
And the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights.
Yeah.
Pretty good theme.
Oh, it's a great theme. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out this note. Linkin Park has put out a statement about Chester. You can get that at kevinandbean.com. Also, a new B-Team podcast. And another thanks for that podcast, Bean.
Oh.
As well.
All that available at krock.com?
That's correct.
Can I not listen to this one, or do I have to listen to this
one? I mean,
one
I think we need a review.
You don't have to listen.
Sweet
now. Jesus. It's not for you.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. this afternoon on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got your tickets to see Metallica. We have the Bachelorette Report. We have your TCL 55-inch television. And comedian Jay Moore joins us in studio tomorrow morning.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
That's dumb.
You're dumb.
Your face is dumb.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.